Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of the Renford books and the Laws of Material Wealth. This program is a book, a workbook, four DVDs, and a CD, 54 weeks of support material that was sent to the people taking the course, and 54 radio shows covering that material. This is by far the most comprehensive personal development program of which I'm aware. And you can go in and listen to those or any of those shows. Just go into blogtalkradio.com. That's B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K, blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And you'll be at the home page of Radio by Renford. Radio by Renford has 11 shows per week. I'm only one of the hosts, and this is something that you are welcome to check out. Besides the Laws of Material Wealth program, you can check out the 10 other hosts, which are spread around, one in New York, one in Boston, one in Denver, one in the in Washington, and Little Rock. And we just welcome you to go in. They're different genres, so go in and check out our shows. And if you would like to, go to YouTube.com, type in Renford Broadcast Network, and there you can actually listen to the first and see the first DVD in the Laws of Material Wealth program and get some taste for it that way. If you got a question of my guest tonight, and my guest is Tammy Davis, and if you've got a question of Tammy or myself, then you can call in on 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142, and press the one button on your touch-tone dial, and that'll flag me to bring you in for your questions. All right? Now, first, I'm going to read my blog for this week. And, of course, all of the blogs are available if you go to iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org. And there you can view the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. The three degree levels of study are there. You can look at what the courses are, what the texts are, which text that you might have some interest in. You can also go to the bookstore, view the Renford books. There are three free e-books there available, and you can download those. One is specific as an introduction to, it's called Searcher's Roadmap, which is an introduction to the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. The core document is there, which is an introduction to the Church of Revelation and the Center of Revelation membership program, which is just now getting underway. And also the Unity Principles book is there. And you can also get the profile, the first of the e-zines, that's the electronic magazine called Lightways. And also go to iam-core.org, but then put /blog, and you can go to all of the Renford Revelations blogs that have been there since we began it, and there's a lot of them there, so you're welcome to go there and read, make your comments, ask questions or whatever you like with regard to that. The Renford Revelations blog this evening is called Ethics: What is Happening and What is the Solution? And I'll have some comments on this during the reading of the blog and afterwards as well, and be well. You're welcome to call in if you have questions or want to talk about, comment on the blog as well during the process of the show. Ethics: What is happening and what is the solution? Since the economic crisis of 2008, the lament has gone up from pulpits and talk shows and general discussions everywhere about the ethics of the corporate heads and the management of powerful companies in our economy. Congressional leaders have not escaped and should not escape criticism as well. These defunct companies have taken with them the retirement dreams of millions of Americans, and the consequences are being felt around the world. there have always been con men and white-collar crime, but the size and scope has reached huge proportions. Questions are being asked. How can this happen? Where has this culture of greed come from? What has happened to ethics in this country? Have our educational institutions failed us? What have churches been doing? There is a great deal of noise being made by politicians, writers, and evangelists about the sad state of ethics and morality in the world today. It is as if there was a golden time when good ethics ruled supreme. The good old days are hearkened to as the days when a man's word was his bond, when a handshake was better than a contract. I have known such men, and they exist today, but one cannot conjure up an idyllic time without entering fantasy land. We know there have always been con artists, and we have classic examples even in the lineage of Jesus. Most of us have an idea of what we think it is to be ethical and what the word ethics means, but where does it come from and by what standard was it created? Webster's College Dictionary defines ethics as the body of moral principles or values held by or governing a culture, group, or individual, a system or set of moral principles. Ethics relate to the cultural acceptance of a nation or group and are largely connected to the religion of that culture. When a major portion of the population adopts a philosophy that suggests that human beings are unworthy, unjustifiable weaklings who in no way are responsible for their condition and in no way can solve their own problems, humankind slides away from responsibility and therefore the action necessary to rectify the problems they face. When the basic principle of a church is that all the answers, all the sacrifice, and all the power of salvation are outside humankind itself, why should we do anything? When our view is that human beings did not cause it and they can do nothing about it, we end up with the conclusion that we have to make no effort. We are saved by Jesus and the wicked will be punished someday. We cannot cure bad ethical behavior or any wrongs in our society by expounding a doctrine that says human beings are unworthy of God's help, but because of his great love, he will help anyway. Some religious segments of our society place impossible thoughts in the mind of God. Imagine, if you can, God reasoning in the manner that proponents of this doctrine do. Humans can't do anything. All your work is as filthy rags, so I'm going to send my only begotten son and let him be killed by you. Now all you have to do is believe. I know that you're too weak to make yourself perfect and that all will sin and come short of perfection. So if you will just believe that he is my son, everything will be all right. You don't have to do anything about the ills in your society. Vengeance is mine. You just believe and I'll take care of you and punish the bad guys. Oh, I know you will lie a little, fornicate a little, and steal a little, but if you believe that my son is the Christ, I'll forgive all this. After all, you aren't responsible anyway. You're too weak. You just have to believe, live in my grace, and I'll punish everybody, anybody, and everybody who does not do so for an eternity. This concept was not taught by Jesus. When we study the elements and components of the universal laws which were taught by Jesus and other great masters, we cannot help but see the shallowness of such an idea about the state of humankind. It is soul-destroying, not soul-uplifting, taught humankind the basis of all ethics as they understood them in their expressions of the universal law. Without an understanding of these laws or principles, one has no solid basis for ethics. There can be no understanding of individual responsibility. Jesus taught the value of right thinking, proper perspective, action, persistence, and love. His answer is found in the law of giving. This law, which explains the need of service to others, provides the manner in which we accomplish the goal and in the process evolve and unfold. Perversions of the truths Jesus taught are fear-based and undermine ethical standards. They come from religious dogma developed in the epistles that became canonized. New Testament books Jesus knew they did not understand and told them so. They expressed dogma that had the appearance of being universal truths. The question of proper ethics is rooted in the universal laws, but this dogma is put forward as God's law and incorporated into our religion and culture. One must understand the creative power of thought, the law of pure potentiality, the law of being, the law of proper perspective, and the law of balance, which are the very basis of ethical action. All virtue comes from understanding of the universal laws and not religious dogma. Every time Jesus spoke, he revealed, illustrated, and explained one or more of the universal laws. Those who came after him created dogma and confusion. The universal laws provide an understanding of why right action is right. And that is my Renford revelation for this evening. I would remind you, if you want to know more about those universal laws, go to Matthew 13:35. In fact, Jesus stated that I came to reveal the secrets that have lain hidden from the foundation of the earth. The mysteries, sometimes it's translated. And in the same verse, the very same verse, it states, and he spake to them in parables, when that parable spake he not. So I'm telling you, you can find those principles in those little stories that we often treat as if they were Sunday school pablum for kids only. Within those parables, you can find each one of those 13 universal principles illustrated and explained, and that might be a very good beginning. Now, to my guest, Tammy Davis. I'm doing something a little different tonight. Tammy has not completed and published her book. We're talking about her books. She is not the head of a major corporation. She is not a well-known speaker. Tammy is somebody that is in the process, and I wanted to have somebody on the show who was taking action, who is doing something, all right, is taking that, making that move. And she has, in this process, written several books, or has the basis of three books about early childhood education. And she is passionate about that. And I want to welcome her to the show. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you.
Now, you have you finished school and everything, but then you went back to school to get training as a computer programmer. Is that correct?
Yes, I have my associate's degree in computer programming.
And what was the idea there? You don't particularly want to program computers, do you?
No, I actually got my associate's degree with the hopes of starting my own business and creating children's software.
Mm-hmm. Did you use that in the composition of these three books that you have underway?
Somewhat, because I've always had a desire to work with children, even when I was a child. So basically everything I'm kind of researching that in my head now, noticing that a lot of things that I've done are kind of going back to wanting to deal with children or work with children. So me getting the associate's degree, I wanted to create children's software to help them learn and, you know, play games. And even in writing the books, I want to write majorly for kids.
What is the nature of the books that you have?
I love the books that I have are ABCs and 1-2-3s, and I'm actually looking to combine those instead of making those two separate books, just basically teaching kids the fundamentals of, you know, the beginning stages of learning. And then I also have another book called Animals A to Z, and just giving them a different outlook on different animals, and just basically just starting off learning a bit more in exactly what animals are. You know, not thinking that they're always the mammals or, you know, the biggest animals around. Even the smallest things can be called an animal, such as an ant, which is going to be the first the first animal in my book for the A. But, you know, just something to teach kids a lot more about the world and everything around them.
So that, what age bracket? I mean, this is early childhood development, but what ages are you talking about?
I'm thinking ranging from pre-K and kindergartners, maybe even up to 10-year-olds, and at a later stage, maybe older.
Is there some reason that you were compelled to work on this? Did you feel like you didn't get the basis of training that you said as a child, or that this is not being taught the way it should, or why were you pushed or pulled to write these books?
I guess I just kind of wanted to give my spin on things that I wanted to teach kids, because, as I said before, I've always had a desire, even when I was younger, to work with kids. So anything pertaining to kids and what they can be taught, what they can learn, things that I can show them, you know, I'm all for it, whether it be books or the software that I want to do, or maybe even computer games. If I could have been the first one to come up with LeapFrog, I probably would have.
It does seem like that first 5 years is just they're like sponges soaking up everything, doesn't it? It seems to
be. Yes, I was just about to say that. Yes.
So important of a learning stage in there. In fact, I think the first 5 years of being out of school and working for a living is comparable to the child is learning in the first 5 years, because I talk about this in some of my training classes, because I know that in university I learned how to study, I learned how to research, I learned a lot that way, but I don't really think I began to learn anything of consequence until I hit the streets. And in that first 5 years, you're soaking up everything, much like a child is soaking up everything in those first 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I really, it so happened that I did my first 4.5 years in life in a mission field in Vietnam during the war. And I know that large portions of my experiences there are with me today. And I'm sure that the same is true, you know, for children in those first few years. I mean, we go on and we think we've gone past it, but a lot of that remains with us. It's always with us. What are you planning to do now?
Well, still in the process of wanting to write more books, and hopefully going to get the software started sooner or later. But I just have just quite a few different things that I want to try. And, you know, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit as well. So I want to be able to start my own businesses, doing my own things, and then, you know, possibly give back. And then for me, it's not only just about the kids, but I've also thought about doing different projects with the homeless as well. You know, just whatever I can do to try to give back, but majorly with kids. Just whatever projects that I can even think of that will be able to help them.
Now, you talk about entrepreneurial spirit. What kind of entrepreneurial activity are you looking at or doing? Because I know that our listeners for the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program are interested in a wide variety, and I've had a lot of different people, a lot of different businesses, and a lot of different situations on the show, but you're still in a formative stage. What are you thinking?
Well, even coming up in school, my favorite hobbies were reading, writing, singing, and dancing. So I'm kind of like a jack of all trades. There are so many things that I can do and that I want to do. I haven't quite narrowed down, you know, the specifics or gotten to one subject that I really want to work on most. But I do know that I love writing. I do know that I love reading. So the perfect opportunity for me was to do books. So I think I'll be doing quite a few books. Like I said, singing and dancing were, you know, some of my favorite hobbies too. So I used to, you know, try to rap and write songs when I was younger and in high school as well. So I'm thinking about also getting back into that and, you know, maybe writing some songs and you know, just moving forward and whatever comes to mind.
But are you involving yourself with writing clubs or what are you doing to try to improve in that area and to accomplish what your objectives are?
Actually working with a friend now. I know that she's into writing music as well. As a matter of fact, we've known each other since elementary school, and in elementary school and even throughout high school, that was one of our hobbies too, was getting into singing and rapping and everything. So hopefully maybe we'll be able to collaborate on a few projects and get some songs out, and, you know, maybe even some gospel songs. And, you know, I'm just kind of filling my oats, so to speak, just, again, just getting out there doing everything that I can or everything that comes to mind, as far as taking my time to go to the library and work on different projects for writing more books or researching different things. Because like the ABCs and 1-2-3's book, I've actually had that written, you know, way back in high school. And I'm just now bringing that into fruition and wanting to go ahead and get that out now. The Animals A to Z book, I thought about it probably within the past year, and I decided, you know, hey, I'm going to do that as well. So I worked on that. So whatever comes to my mind, whatever talents that I have that I can use toward reaching my goal to doing whatever I can for kids.
Now, you told me a story with a little bit of that I think would be very important to people who are listening tonight about the dangers of procrastination.
Yes.
Tell our listeners about your experience with procrastination.
It's ironic, sad, and funny all at once, but actually had three different things to happen, but the most important to me, which is, of course, my writing, I came up with a children's book, and, you know, I had the storyline and the characters, and I just kind of sat on it, pretty much like I did even the ABCs and 1-2-3's books I have now. And I just kind of sat on the idea. I remember even the paper that I wrote it on, that was once white notebook paper, had yellowed. But came up with this great storyline, and I just so happened to be in my parents' house one day, and I was watching television, and this author came on, and they were discussing her books and the characters that she came up with and the name of the book. She had the exact same name of the book that I wanted. Her characters were basically the same characters that I had, which were going to be little angel kids. And she made it into a series, and her books were flourishing. And I was like, wow, that was my idea. And, you know, it just came from me just sitting back, not using that talent that God gave me. And he gave me that idea to put forth, and I just kind of sat on it. And it made me realize then, and like I said, a couple other things that happened, you know, hey, if you have something in mind and you want to put it forth, God has given you the talent and the idea to, you know, bring it into fruition. Go ahead and work on it then. Don't procrastinate. Don't hesitate, because just like he gave it to you, he can give it to someone else, because it's something that he gave you for a purpose and a reason to get out there. So that was a lesson I learned the hard way, and I'm still learning, but life is a learning process.
Now, what are you What are you doing to take the action on the ABC, the 1-2-3, and the Animal A to Z book? What are you doing? I mean, I know that listeners that are there are people out there who have manuscripts, not just ideas. They may have there are lots and lots of people out there with ideas, but many with actually, you know, actual completed manuscripts that are still sitting on those manuscripts for one reason or another. Now, the lack of funds is easily understandable, but then there's things to do to remedy that as well. But what can you tell them? What do you suggest?
I actually thought about this myself. There's a website that my brother introduced to me for a project that he was doing called GoFundMe.com, in which you can, I guess, go ahead and go onto that site and set up your own personal invitations for friends, family, and maybe even strangers to contribute to whatever your specific goal is and whatever your topic and subject is. But I thought about that as well. But again, that's kind of my issue now, is I have the manuscripts, but I'm actually taking more steps forward to getting my books out there and getting them published. I'm working on the illustrations now, and I actually have a lot of the illustrations done. I'm just in the process of getting the funds together to go ahead and purchase those illustrations for my own, considering I got them from another site. And just really, you know, working toward my goal of just getting my books out there and doing any and everything that I need to do to go ahead and get them started. And, you know, just realize the dream that I have as far as getting them out there, wanting to get them in kids' hands, and just going through the process.
Now, GoFundMe .com is what's called crowdfunding, right?
Not quite sure. Like I said, I just got introduced to it by my brother for a project that he did, but he actually did his I forgot exactly what he was doing it for, but it was something specific he was doing for his school and for a group of kids that he was working with. And he kind of told me about it, and, you know, I went to the site and funded a specific amount of money toward his goal. But, you know, it was interesting to me. I didn't even know that there were, you know, a lot of websites out there like that. So, you know, that's one way. And then, of course, I guess you could just ask around.
And let's look at this just a minute. For the benefit of listeners, if you're not familiar with GoFundMe.com, this is, I believe, what's referred to as crowdfunding. There are many, that's C-R-O-W-D, crowdfunding. These are online places where people like to donate or put money or help people realize their dreams. One of the first ones that I came across was called Kickstarter, and they all have different rules governing the way they do things. In some cases, if you get the full funding that you're asking for, and you have to present a case for what it is that you're trying to do, but if you don't get the funding, that minimum funding that you require, then they don't release those funds to you. Some of them, they will release whatever funds have been put forward for you. And there's more than one. So I suggest that you go, that you Google, just Google crowdfunding, C-R-O-W-D, funding, and see what comes up on your on the internet for you. And you can check out, what did you say this one's name was? Go?
Yeah, it's GoFundMe.com.
GoFundMe, and check out Kickstarter and a few of those. These are have been sources of funds for a number of businesses, a number of projects that have been funded here in the last few years. So this is something, if you, those of you who are entrepreneurial and are trying to fund projects and so forth, this is something that you can go check out. If you haven't already, that's something that you can look at. What else? What other ways are you working on funding for your books and your projects?
Well, I do have a full-time job, so of course I'm looking at that source of income to, you know, try to put some money back each time and save up towards my goal. Which, of course, I have to get all the bills and everything out of the way first, but that's another thing. And then I've also looked into a wealth-building business that I've just recently gotten into to, you know, help do an additional income. You know,
I
think that's going to work out really well.
I believe this is something that I have had some of these people online to talk about. It's something that I'm doing to increase monthly income. We are working on a wide range of things. One is a finance package for authors or any small business owner based on your income, your revenue, as opposed to a credit rating. It's a special type of financing. And we're also working with some that have that go down much lower, like into the 550 area as far as the financing. But tell us a little bit about this one that you are working with.
Well, the one I'm with is called National Wealth Center, and it's a company helping to build wealth by showing you how to build wealth. So it's kind of like a win-win situation. They have different programs as far as working with you to build wealth and tell you a little bit more about how to do it, the steps and the process. And I'm just kind of getting into it. I've only been in it a couple of weeks now, and because of my tight schedule and everything, I hadn't had a chance to really get involved like I want to. But, you know, it's really turning out really well. I'm learning more, you know, just by even just getting into the business. I'm learning a bit more about my options and exactly how much I can save and the tax benefits and everything about the company. So it's a really good company that I think people should check out.
Well, it is an interesting company. National Wealth Center is a 16-year-old company, so it's not a new thing. It's close to 1 million members, and it seems to me like one of those things that the future has caught up with us, you know, sort of Dick Tracy time, because they're so advanced, and like Dick Tracy, yeah. Of the cartoon, if those of you who are old enough to remember that, he was using a cell phone on his wrist way, way, way back then, but company has apps that are put onto your smartphones, and you literally have it's like coupons, only electronic coupons. So if you go to a Papa John's, for instance, you can buy one and get one free. You just show that there's over 300, close to I think 350,000 companies on there where you can get your savings and discounts. And in fact, you can add to it by recommending people that you trade with. But, you know, it's getting to the point that I think in the fairly near future, if you go into a retail establishment and you don't show your app, they're going to think you're stupid. You know, it's going to be, you know, it's the kind of thing that's just going to be a natural cooperative of business. And if you're not taking advantage of it, you're kind of missing the boat on it. But in addition to that, this company does provide a wide range. And in fact, we are providing the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program too. And that is the book, the workbook, the DVDs, the 54 weeks of support material and online coaching we're providing to participants in this program. Even if they're coming in at a very, very low level, we'll provide the book the first month and the workbook the second month and the DVDs the third month type of thing for 54 weeks thereafter. So we're combining that. But their first level program is about personal development as well. And then it moves into business development, and then into personal and estate planning and more advanced type of thing. So it looks to me like, Tammy, that you're pulling out all stops to get these books into print and looking at
definitely.
It from
I'm just going to say I'm definitely well on my way because, like I said, I've sat on a few projects that have been passed down to someone else because I procrastinated and hesitated with them. And even a couple of the books that I have now, I've written them years ago and I'm just now putting that foot forward and just really wanting to get out there and make my works available, because I know that they didn't just come to me just for me to sit on them. They came to me to share with, you know, others. So that's what I really want to do. And, you know, not only that, but only, you know, because I also have that entrepreneurial spirit, and I've always thought about, you know, doing for me and working for me and not having to work for anyone else. And, like, even with getting into the National Wealth Center, getting back to that, I mean, even getting into that, I not only saw the benefits for me, but I see the benefits for, you know, friends and family. So, you know, just like you said, kind of pulling out all stops, becoming the jack of all trades, and just doing any and everything that I can to get out there, make my dreams become reality.
Well, I think that type of determination is all of you who are listening, I think that type of determination is what's required if you're going to realize those dreams. It is probably the most rewarding part of being in the publishing business, to see people come with an idea. Now, there's something there that, and I'll ask Tammy to tell us about that a little bit, but they, when one is compelled or really feel the need to write something like this, it's generally because they feel like there's something missing, and that they are fulfilling a need. And when that type of thing is not there, and one, say, is just writing because they are hoping to make money, there's too much missing. In fact, this is not an easy way to make a lot of money. I mean, writing a book is not an easy way. When you do write a book, you're literally creating a new business, and you have to market that book and all the apparatus and all the things that are necessary in a successful business are necessary in marketing your product, your book. And there's a tremendous amount to learn. When I sit down with an author who has their book, we've gone through the process, we've provided everything to create that product, and then we sit down to talk about how it's going to be marketed. And I think we, Tammy and I, have had this conversation, or partially so. We're looking at 77 ways, and I'm not saying there are only 77 ways to market a book. There may be hundreds, for all I know, but I do put together a program of 77 ways that you can market your book, and then we go in and analyze the skill factor, financial factor, the temperament, and so forth, so that we can tailor make that marketing plan for that individual, for that author. There's just a lot to it, and it takes some commitment. Tell us briefly what you think is different about the early child education, these books that you've written, and what's generally available out there?
Just simply because I put my own spin and creativity into what I wrote. I mean, I know there are bukus of ABC and 1-2-3 books, but, you know, I kind of give my own perspective and, you know, give my own teachings and the way I feel that I could have done it. Yeah, I guess if that makes sense. You know, not necessarily that I could have done it better, but, you know, just putting my own spin on it.
Mm-hmm. And you said something about having another children's book in process. What is that likely to be, if you don't mind telling us?
Well, aside from that and the Animals A to Z, I'm just kind of taking it a day at a time, you know, seeing what other activities I want to do. I also thought about doing another, I guess, a novel, or maybe even a series of novels, just writing books about my life, which, of course, wouldn't necessarily be children's books, but just getting into all aspects and realms of writing. Just really getting back to what I love, because you know, just getting out here and getting into that day-to-day process of punching the clock to go into work, I forgot about all the dreams and everything that I had, you know, things that I used to do, going back to those simple hobbies that I had back in school. Those were the things that I loved to do. And I traded all that for a paycheck to pay bills. And so, mm-hmm. you know, getting back into doing things that I love.
Now, you've got some charitable projects or some causes that we've talked briefly before the show about our guest last week, who was Annie Hess, and mm-hmm. Annie's oldest son, was gunned down on a path in a suburban area here of Memphis called Cordova, and killed. To try to deal with the pain of that, Annie began to write, and we had her on the show talking about mm-hmm. her book, and I found that you were involved in some projects here in which you're producing T-shirts and selling them to raise money. What is that project?
Yeah, actually did these T-shirts again a few years ago. I came up with the idea. I wrote the poem maybe a couple of years earlier for a friend of a friend. I wrote it for her. She was, you know, still in school, in high school, as a matter of fact, and they were having to come up with essays, poems, or, you know, whatever they felt they could use to bring to the school to teach about violence and other things going on in the world. And again, like I said, I always used to like to write, so I wrote a poem called Stop the Violence. And a couple of years later, I came up with a trademark idea for the slogan and the picture for the front of a T-shirt. And I was like, I like this idea. What can I put on the back, you know, to really capitalize on that? And I thought about my Stop the Violence poem. And I just really wanted to put that out there because I have a strong desire and feeling toward that as well, you know, about all the violence going on in the world and the way the world is headed. And actually I had the T-shirts going for a while, but I had some things to come into play that made me kind of pull back on that project and actually ended that project. And I'm in the process of, you know, trying to get that restarted again and get those out to a lot of people that I know are out there now waiting for those T-shirts to come back.
Well, there are a number of groups that I'm sure would love to have, and I know that Annie would, I mean, she has gone through that whole period of her life there and the loss of the son, pretty much feeling like she's alone. There's no organization that talked to her that apparently doesn't exist that works with parents whose children have been slain on the street. And she really, I think, is now in thinking toward establishing a nonprofit company to work with parents that have had that experience. And I'm sure that she'd love to talk to you as well. And anyone else who would like to talk with my guest tonight, Tammy Davis, guest, Annie Hess, and others, then you can email me, iamrenford@gmail.com. That's iamrenford@gmail.com. And or call me, 901-487-9365, and we'll try to put you parties together that where you can be of help and support to each other as you develop your programs. Do you have an email address or contact number that you would like to invite people to contact you and talk about what you're doing?
Yes, contact phone number is 901-335-0836, or you can go to my email at michansa and the number 2 michansa2@gmail.com. And that's michansa2, MICHANSA, and the number 2 at Gmail.
And are you talking to groups, educators, writers, entrepreneurs? Are you doing anything like that at the moment?
Other than getting into this new business with National Wealth, speaking to a few of the people there, and it's funny that you mentioned about getting into the group about the T-shirts. I actually spoke with a relative of mine that, you know, I told about the T-shirts and what I was trying to do with those. And, you know, he said, hey, why don't you go ahead and get a nonprofit organization started with that? And, you know, I just kind of took that into consideration. I hadn't, you know, taking the steps to do research on it and find out more about starting a nonprofit organization with the T-shirts, but that's definitely something I'm looking forward to getting into as well.
Yeah, I know that some of the other authors, I think their whole marketing program will be based around their nonprofit because it just simply makes sense for them. Well, I'm very pleased that you could be with me this evening. Is there any other anything else that you would like to impart to my listeners? Any words of advice? I mean, there are plenty of people out there that are talking and thinking about writing a book or doing something of this nature and have not been galvanized into action. Maybe some word from you might be helpful.
Yeah, definitely just want to tell the listeners, whatever you have on your heart, whatever you have on your mind, especially projects that you've begun, finish. If you start the race, finish the race, because there is a goal. And I actually had someone to mention before, I believe I was in church, but they said that if you're watching a basketball game, you're going to get tired of watching those players run back and forth between the courts, and there's no goal there. There's a goal there for a reason. You pretty much reach towards your goal. Don't stop. Don't procrastinate. Don't hesitate. Everything happens for a reason. All the gifts that God has given you and the talents, use them because they have a purpose. You have a purpose. Find out what it is and go for it.
Well, thank you very much for being with us tonight on the Laws of Material Wealth. And I look forward to talking with you further about your objectives. And hopefully when we get those books into print, you can join us again on the Laws of Material Wealth and on the Bookman Show on that airs on Saturday nights at 9:30. Thanks again, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm.
The program tonight is a little bit shorter than planned, but I wanted you to check out a few things that are available to you. If you would, go to youtube.com and type in Renford Broadcast Network. It's R-E-N-F-O-R-D. Broadcast Network. There are six sections there. The first is, in fact, the Laws of Material Wealth section. And there you have the first of the four DVDs that belong there that will give you kind of a taste of what this is, what this program is about. And it is literally about the process of identifying and verifying each of these 13 universal principles of success from your own experiences, because they don't really become real to you until you can relate them to your own experiences. As long as you are not able to do that, the question of belief comes into play, and it's then a matter of where you believe the author or you believe the individual who's telling you. So we want to put you in the position of knowing as opposed to taking our word for it or believing. The second section on the site is the Bookman show that you heard me just mention, and that we hopefully will have Tammy and others from ground level experience here in Memphis to be on that show and to talk about their experiences. The Bookman show, I specialize in Memphis-based authors now. We've had authors on there from various parts of the country, but the objective is to give as much exposure as possible to Memphis-based authors. And sometimes it'll be an editor or a bookstore owner or something related, but it's mostly provide a little community outreach here and let the local authors talk about their projects, what they're doing, what they believe, and so forth. And then the third section is the Core Concepts series. Now, we've had that show has been on for more than 3 years, and so has the Core Concepts lecture series. Now, it started out as a lecture series, but it became an interview program of religious and spiritual leaders, all types, all stripes, many, many different Christian denominations, Tibetan Buddhist, Jesuit priest, Wiccans, just of a wide variety of religious faith and spiritual teachings. Now, I know that you can go to the internet and you can find out about virtually any religion or spiritual discipline that you can imagine, but I think we've had people on the show you wouldn't even know to look for. So you can go to youtube.com and to the Renford Broadcast section there and see the Core Concepts series. This is a very interesting series. And along with this, we have audio books, we have music with meaning, and the Renford Theater. So it's a pretty substantial site, and I want to invite you to check us out there. Also, to as mentioned earlier in the show, go to iam-cor.org and view the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. This is a 3-degree level program. When you complete one of those levels, if you complete the level as a the ULS, Universal Law Society level, you're eligible for ordination with the Church of Revelation as a minister teacher. The second level, you're eligible as, for ordination as a master teacher, and the third level is doctor metaphysician. And you can go look at the courses and the books and so forth that are used and visit that campus. We'll welcome you to do that. And also to go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to some of the shows there. There are, like I said, 11 shows per week. They're very different genres. For instance, Eddie Middleton is the host of Night Search, and he is the state director for MUFON, which is the organization that investigates UFO sightings. And his shows are all in that vein about that subject matter. So they're not all in the same vein. It's fairly diverse, so go check those out. And then come back and be with us next week on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Have a good week. Good night, everybody.